full, a lot of anxiety last week as I sat down in front of the computer trying to think of what I was going to speak on. Thought I had some things planned out, but the Lord made me realize that I didn't trust him anymore, my faith. And, you know, I was trying to handle things myself, you know. And that's what this message is about tonight, and that's trust. Hosea 26, verses 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in you the Lord is everlasting strength. The world that we live in today shows or says anything but peace. You know, it's a scene of anxiety and the turmoil all around us, where people today are on medicine for fears and anxiety than any other generation before us. Even in the body of Christ, it's hard to escape the fact that many are troubled. It may be the natural thing to fear what the world is doing, but we're different, you know. We've been born again. We'll be Christians. You know, the old and natural man has been put to death. We now place our hope and trust in God, not in the so-called reality of this present world. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's hard to follow this admonition when the bills just seem to overwhelm us. You know, the utilities, the gas, the electric, the water, the phone. Even have the internet now. The mortgage payment, the car payments, doctor bills, car repairs, no insurance. You know, the list goes on and on. How can we stare these things in the face and remain calm and have peace? These things are enough to totally distract us and capture our every conscious moment. Yet God's word tells us that we need to keep this monster under control. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Read that one more time. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." I guess the question that goes begging is, well, how do we free ourselves from this overwhelming, you know, the avalanche of worries and cares and concerns and all the problems, etc.? Answer has to be that we have to look to God for our peace. The victory overall, you know, that seems to be against our peace. If we look for peace any other place, you know, we're going to come away empty. Another thing that we must understand is that there will always be new problems, cares, worries. They're going to take the place of the ones that we have just overcome. You know, problems will always be there. Matthew 6, verse 34. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And if we don't properly learn to deal with these problems, it will kill us spiritually. Matthew 13, verse 22. "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So we often use this passage in dealing with greed or covetousness or maybe even overly competitive spirit. And it does address these problems. It also addresses the cares of the world, you know, worry and fear. Only God can really take care of, you know, every ever-renewing care of this life. Going back to our text, the one whose mind and trust is on God will have perfect peace. We all want that inner peace, you know, which passes all understanding. But how do we obtain it? The blessings mentioned in Isaiah chapter 26 comes from a right heart, proper attitude, some right thinking. Very much agrees with the passage that I read in 2 Corinthians. We must keep our thoughts captive. Isaiah says, whose mind is stayed on you, whose mind is stayed on God. Some are able to go through, you know, a whole day, not really think about or communicate with God. You know, are these wicked people? No, they're just people that have focused on the wrong plane. You know, the earthly, the physical, the tangible. You know, the here and now has captured their attention. Understand, for the sake of, you know, keeping up impressions, we might say the right things or do the right things, have all the right face expressions or talk the right way, but I'm convinced that some, if not many, Christians go through their day not entertaining a single thought of God. You know, some would say, well, how could this be? You know, don't we pray every day? We do, don't we? That's the point. You know, the cares, the tug of this world has tugged us away from even a little bit of prayer life. Many who do pray only give God the smallest bit of their time, you know, 30 seconds at the end of the day, sort of an ease to their conscience. We all know that 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Even though we know this verse, we still only give God a little, you know, little clumps of prayer, and worse yet, maybe no prayer at all. Why would those who follow this course of ignoring God the majority of the time expect God to be with them, you know, at their beck and call? Remember this, God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on Him. The reason that so many Christians do not have this peace that passes all understanding is that they have ignored the solution and focused on the problems, you know, and our meager and totally limited abilities to fix those problems. Next element of our text is that perfect peace will come to those who continue to trust. You know, as humans, we have some infuriating habits, you know. One, the most frustrating habit is that of inconsistency. We can start off just right, you know, but just let a little time pass by and all our best intentions kind of fizzle, you know, it's like pouring water over a campfire. Starting things and not finishing them may be the trademark of some, you know, especially me lately. This may be frustrating to some, but it's not a matter of life or death. You know, without trust, reliance, and contact with God, that is a life or death problem. It can mean the difference between a contented and peaceful life in Christ or a life of turmoil, a lack of faith, a sinful attitude toward God and fellow Christians. Walking in Christ is not an on-again, off-again thing. You know, God is not a toy or a doll that we can play with until we're tired of Him. Then we can put Him away and again until we need Him. He's not our wishing well, you know, someone that we can go to whenever we want something. Sure, God wants to give us blessings, but He wants our lives. He wants our fears. He wants our dreams and our desires. So often we pray and we see the answer to prayers. We thank God for His faithfulness to us, and then we promptly forget to even speak to him again until we have another need to be fulfilled, or even until we are prodded by others or our own conscience. This can especially be seen in the little everyday things of life, you know, the sore backs, children with temperatures, and many other things that catch our attention. I ask, in what way are we different than the rest of the world? When we are little kids, we often promise our parents the world that, you know, if they allow us to do something or they help us to do something, that we will act or behave or do things in a certain manner that will be pleasing to them. We're often successful in our persuasion, and after the event has passed, we forget all about our promises. We often or also do the same thing with God, you know. A trying event is over. He helps us get through it. We pray to him, and then maybe those promises or those things that he did for us to get us through this event, we fail to keep those promises or continue to go to him. We keep them in this little box and take them out whenever we need to and put them back in the box and ignore them the rest of the time. God wants to be a part of our lives. When he is allowed to be included in our lives will be filled with joy and peace that only God can provide. We need to trust him and look to him as we face difficult decisions and tasks. We also need to turn to him in our everyday little problems. We must strive to keep God alive in our minds and turn to him in faith and trust when we are faced with turmoil or the problems, you know, that face us every day. Finally, we can rely on God for our strength. In our text we find, "The Lord is everlasting strength." Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The reason that we fear, and the world can cause us to focus so hard on it and not on God, is the fact that we feel overwhelmed. We don't have the strength to overcome, and therefore everything seems like a threat to us. Again, we go back to that thing of trust and faith. So often we insist on battling, you know, the dragons of the world, even though we know we're going to be eaten by them eventually or from time to time. A couple of weeks ago, I came across this journal that I had written while Daryl and I lived in the Dominican Republic. Lived there for a couple of months in this little village, about an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Santo Domingo. And it reminded me of the time when I first came in contact or saw my first Dominican cockroach. Those that have been there know what I'm talking about. We showed up to this church that we were going to be living in. They had just built most of it. We were going to be working on some things, the roof. And the church didn't have a bathroom facilities or anything to use, and we were going to have to build an outhouse for the church and something for us to use while we were living there. And in the meanwhile, in the interim, before we got it built, one of the preachers or Gordon, someone had arranged that we use one of the neighbors' facilities. And I still remember the preachers out there. They were putting up some stakes in the ground and corner off this. It was a cement slab, basically, on this hill in this clearing between a couple of houses and the church building. And on this little slab was this 1 foot by 1 foot block, you know, of cement, and it had a hole in the ground, and that was to be our toilet. And they put some sticks around, and I think some twine or something, had some palm leaves and some plastic and cardboard, anything they could find to make some type of wall to give us a little privacy. But even through their attempts to give us privacy, it didn't really do much. Most of the wind had blown the stuff away. So if you wanted to use the toilet, you pretty much had, you wanted privacy in using the toilet, you had to do it at night. So remember my first night going out there with my flashlight, something out to this cement block, I shine my light on this block with a hole in it, and there were these huge, you know, they were like 2 or 3 inch, even 4 inch beetles crawling all over it, you know. And I prodded at one and he flew. And I was like, you know, it was a little bit frightening for me. I didn't know what these things were, and I was going to sit on that thing, I was going to get bit. So it was a couple days later. It was after church services, and we were out in front of the church, and there was a group of us. They had church service, evening church service there, probably 5 days a week. And we were in front of the church, and we were on the main road. We were just kind of socializing there in our Spanglish, our attempts to speak Spanish and their attempts to speak English. We socialized, and they had this... they had this block wall. It was a cinder block type wall, and they were making a fence, basically a gate in front of the church that separated the road and the church building, kind of went along the property of the church. And I shined my light on there, and I asked one of the locals there. I seen these beetles crawling all over this wall, and I says, what's that? I says, ¿qué es eso? You know, I pointed to the beetle, and he says, Lucaracha. And I couldn't interpret the cucaracha at the time. All I could think of was the song, the cucaracha, the cucaracha. So I started singing the song, and he joins in. And about 30 seconds into the song, it hit me, the cucaracha, cockroach. And I was just like horrified. Holy cow. So I ran and I grabbed a stick and I come back out to this wall and I start beating all these cockroaches in, and I'm trying to kill every one, and they're on the little crevices and they're all over. And so I spent a good, you know, half hour that night trying to kill every cockroach I could find. And so the next evening came, I went back out to that road and I started killing more cockroaches, and I was horrified by these cockroaches. And every time after service it kind of became like a social event, you know, people go out there and laugh at the American, you know, the crazy gringo or whatever out there killing cockroaches. But it didn't matter, you know, they could laugh at me all they wanted. I was killing these cockroaches, and probably took me about a month to realize that, you know, cockroaches is just a way of life. You know, I wasn't making much of a dent in the population. And I remember it was one, probably about a month after I'd been there, this one, they had kids all over, and this one little, probably 2-3 year old, probably sent by his dad, he comes to our door where we were living, and he's got this big smile, and he's holding something for me, you know. I'm like, hey, what you got? And he opens his hand, he's got this big cockroach, and he starts laughing. So they had expense at me, you know, and the cockroaches, but it didn't matter, you know. Every time I seen a cockroach, I was going to kill it. We all see the silliness in me doing battle with these cockroaches, but aren't we all many times doing the same thing in our lives? And we see these overwhelming urge to do battle with everything that comes our way. You know, never a thought of how God might fit into the picture. We stand there with our stick or our 2x4 staring at these cockroaches, you know, in our lives. We wonder why we are always defeated and overwhelmed by the problems that come our way. Is it because we might be just a little bit too proud? We say that we don't want to disturb Him with the little problems. You know, we say that we forget to go to Him in prayer. We say that we are overwhelmed by the magnitude of the problem, and yet we try to solve all these problems ourselves. I wonder why God said, humble yourselves, you know, so often when it comes to prayers. Could it be that we just don't want to admit our limitations and our shortcomings? God wants to give us the victory. God wants to give us the peace that passes all understanding. We continue to defeat His will by not submitting to it, by not seeking it out, by not continuing in pride and not admitting our shortcomings and failing to seek out the strength and peace and victory that God has for us. How long will we stubbornly insist on trying to handle all life's problems by ourselves? Can we see how we are hurting ourselves in both the physical and the spiritual realms? You can trust in God with your life. You can trust God to handle your problems. You need not worry when you turn things over to God. Your hopes, your dreams need to be fully in God and not in your own abilities or your inabilities. If you can't trust Him, I mean really trust Him in everything, He has more for you than you could ever possibly imagine. So, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Really, who do you really trust? Use this scripture in closing before, and I think it's relevant to this message. Psalms 56:11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Thank you.